Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You know what I want.
Not Samson, Greg. Not Samson.
No, I want a top Samson.
Hey, that's really bad. 85 points for the Raptors in this one. 133 points for the Minnesota Timberwolves. For those keeping track at home, that is a 48-point deficit. That is the franchise record. They have never lost a game this bad. How do you not feel apathetic watching this team? This is my job. I watch them. I'm supposed to be observing for interesting stories, interesting notes, progressions. I don't see a lick of it. They've lost 15 in a row. They might not win again this season. They are on a collision course with one of the worst seasons in franchise history based on just overall record. They're on a collision course with the longest losing streak in franchise history. They just set the record for the largest loss deficit, 48 points. They already set the home deficit. Mike Azan says the Raps are so bad they're causing existential dread. Everyone in chat is just saying Malachi Flynn because he dropped 50 for the Pistons. Joe Wolfson had a tweet where he was talking about, you know, at least other teams have some sort of like, while you're circling the drain of eternity, you have that Corey Brewer 50-point game. You get the Malachi Flynn 50-point game. Something happens. Even the Knicks got like Quentin Grimes being interesting at the end of one of their seasons, right? The Raptors have nothing. My friend Goose, he said, the only thing Toronto has right now is fine women and a housing crisis. What is going on, man? I think apathy is almost never healthy. But I don't know what investment into this team could return a person right now. Is it meaningful? It is meaningful that Javon Freeman Liberty set his career high. That's meaningful. That's meaningful. So I'm glad for him. But for the fan base, is this enough to juice them? Can this get people excited in a 48-point loss? Can Grady getting rid of the ball on a drive, filtering to the corner, pump, split two, going up and under, finishing with English, can that get you excited? Can that get you through the rest of the season? I suspect it can't. Can the singular Malik Williams screen assist, can that get you anywhere? Can the 0-for-7 performance from the front court, the hapless performances that we're getting from these Raptors, and not necessarily because they are hapless, but perhaps because there's just such a big divide between one team and the other when it comes to size, talent, even investment to some degree. What are these guys playing for? Garrett Temple, Jalen McDaniels, Williams, Grady Dick, and Emmanuel Quickly. That's your starting five. Not great, man. Not great. And also, just to like, it's Emmanuel's second game back. You know, I was like pretty underwhelmed by his ability to create in this game. But here's the thing. I can be underwhelmed and say, wow, I wish he could have carried more of the offense. However, it doesn't matter that much. He'll have better games in the future. This is not indicative of anything. It's an entertainment product, and had Emmanuel played better, maybe this would have been, you know, more palatable. but that's not what this is. That's not what this, you know, Mauricio Arenas says, Samson, please, it's a hapless 15-game losing streak. It certainly is. Loss after loss after loss after loss after loss. Somebody was in here last night and posted L. Sometimes opposing fans like to do that. We need all of them. We need 15 fans to come in and give us that to equal the sum of the Raptors' excellent losing. You know, we'll see. Brandon Gable says shelf watch. Yeah, I promised the people on Twitter that I'd build a shelf on the podcast instead of talking about the game. What are you supposed to talk about, man? Like Jalen McDaniels, 15 shot attempts? Okay. Not great. I mean, he scored a couple, got to the rim on a couple. He had 4 assists. That's meaningful. Some laydowns. Well done, Jalen. You know, Grady, 17 shot attempts, 6 of 17. A couple nice drives to the rim. A couple times he saw a guy and thought, I can dribble past this guy. No. Cannot dribble past Ant Edwards. Even Kyle Anderson stepping up, picking the pocket. Who has, you know, sneaky long arms. It is what it is. You know, Giovanni says Samson. Malachi Flynn had a 50 bomb on a night. The Raptors get blown out by 50, basically. Yeah, let's think about it from this point of view. If you just take Malachi Flynn from the Pistons, you pluck him, you put him on these Raptors, they beat. They beat the Wolves. They would beat them 135 to 133, right? That's how basketball works. What a crazy, crazy thing. And here's for anybody who's listening, in case you haven't seen the tweet floating around about it, Malachi Flynn has the lowest points per game entering a 50-point performance ever. He is, on merit, let's say, and his career high before this was only 27. Only 27. My goodness. I think it was like 5.5 points per game. He steps in there. He gets a 50 burger. We couldn't get anybody above 16 points tonight. I get it. They're losing. I get it. The team is not good. I feel like, yeah, it's an entertainment product. They are not fulfilling that. There was a moment in time where it was happening. It's not the case right now. I don't know how they manage. I don't think they're able to bridge the gap this year. I think they're going to play really bad basketball the rest of the year. I think they might lose out the whole season. Like 22-game losing streak. That might happen. You know, for those who are interested, as top of top 21 here points out, great night. Ellipses points. Pacers lose. Portland wins. Grizz win. All great new or all great for our draft picks. That is true. If anybody, basically the only thing that makes any of this palatable is that the season ends kind of soon. And that not only are the Raptors going to be in a stronger position to have, you know, new players that they draft and should have an interesting outlook on a team and more potential and all that kind of stuff. However, they will also have healthy players returning to the lineup. They can spend a bit of money in free agency if they so choose. They'll have room to shake and move. That's the future. And if you're interested in prospects, myself, Trevon Heath, and Josh Codinera will be talking about prospects Saturday around noon. There'll be a live episode. Stay tuned for that if you want, because I'll be learning along with a lot of the listeners from Trey, who pays a lot of attention, and Josh, who does it for work. He's a professional scout. So we're going to be talking a lot about the future of the Raptors over the next however long. You know, there's a lot of forecasting. Giovanni says, last time I checked, good free agents were not lining up to sign in Toronto. That's true. That's absolutely true. But the Raptors will have like a meaningful amount of money, and they might be able to, you know, coax somebody over there. You know, maybe it's like, and Luca points out that it's a bad free agent class too. It certainly is. But, you know, a good team, the same way I don't like the way that everyone's like, well, this is a bad draft class. It's like, probably. But if you're good at drafting, you'll find a guy. If you're good at drafting, you'll find a guy. If you're good in the front office, even in a weak free agent class, you find a guy. That's how it has to work. I know it's not sexy. You don't get to build everything around it like the Raptors when they tried to like build the roster towards Giannis maybe jumping ship from the Bucks, even structuring like a dip in the middle of Fred VanVleet's contract just in case, down from 21 to 19.5, like that kind of stuff. You don't plan to that point. But if you're good at your job, you got to be able to go into free agency and get more than a Jalen McDaniels on the biannual exception. You got to go out into free agency. And I liked Otto Porter at the time, but geez, that worked out terribly, as Phoenix Play Z points out. These Raptors, I don't know, man. We'll see. Yeah, Luca points out, you know, this is, with the system that's being built, one hopes that, you know, they're identifying guys that can work. And yeah, Dog 2233 says, what's worse, watching this or the Blue Jays? I'm such an idiot, man. I was watching both because I thought, like, you know, maybe I'll see something good. But you just watch and it's just bad. And like, yeah, they needed guys who could hit. I don't want to talk about Jays too much, you know, on the Raptors podcast, but I was like, what the hell is going on here, man? Is just internal growth? Is this what we're relying on for the Blue Jays? Their whole deal? You know? Jing Pang also brings up, even if you're good at drafting, there's going to be a lot of bad rookies on this team next year. Agreed. Expecting a rookie to be a positive impact player is like, it's wishful thinking a lot of the times. Now, Wemby, that's a different story. But, you know, if the Raptors do lean into all three picks, provided they keep that number one that could or could not go to San Antonio, they will have a super, super young roster, kind of girded by the likes of, I guess, maybe like Kelly for sure. Maybe Gary sticks around. Maybe, you know, it'll be a young roster. Scotty can be a rising tide that lifts all boats. That might be a thing, but I don't know. It'll be better than it is now, of course. Like, of course, it will be better than it is now. Phoenix Play Z says Amen has been a plus. Yeah, Amen's cool. They're cool players. Asar and Amen are very, very unique. Yeah, Lucas says, I really do see Barnes, RJ Quickly as a good trio, plus Yacht Tank or the D. It's just what the depth will look like. Could be very young. Yeah. I'm not as high on that trio as a lot of other people are. However, because I'm not as high as some other people, of course. Slomo says, I had to hear about Hawkes from Miami for months this season. You can find talent. Yeah, I totally agreed, Slomo, 100%. If you're good at your job, even if bad draft, good draft, whatever the hell is being said, there's guys. Now, it's not easy to find them, but, you know, there is guys out there. Phoenix Play Z says, Samson, was this the better option than trading Scottie plus Gary Trent Jr. for Kevin Durant? So the like unique thing about being here is we all just get to like put on the like, you know, we already saw what happened. Scottie took a step that even Masai, by his own admission, didn't think he'd be making, you know, and so, no, I think this is the better option. I think the Raptors, you build around Scottie, you try and make it work. This is another attempt for Masai and Bobby to kind of like get into their bag. And that's what I think it has to be. We'll see if they can build it again. So yeah, that's kind of what we're looking at. OCD Sucks says, can you make a Scottie Barnes advantage assist compilation? Also, who would you like Scottie to work out with if you can handpick? Ooh, really good question. If you go to my YouTube channel right now, not the Raptors Republic one, the one I upload clips to for my pieces, there is like maybe 7 minutes of Scottie advantage assists. It's like the first 20 games of the season if you want something now. And yeah, I'll do that for the season. There will be over the summer, I'll do very comprehensive work on Scottie's season because there'll be time, and I'll definitely dig into that stuff, and there'll be videos I'll make for that kind of stuff. Some will just be the passes that are made, the compilation, and then some will be with like commentary and breakdowns and stuff like that. And then Din Loud says, plenty of players are good in their first year and difference makers. Dick is good. It's reasonable that we can have one or two players of his caliber next year as well. I do think that Dick is good. And okay. I do think that Grady is good at basketball. I've been high on Grady for some time. However, he's not a positive impact player right now. And it's tough. I'm using the term impact because of my understanding of it. I know we're all just, yeah, I know what happened there. I get it. Yeah. So, yes, all that good stuff. Luca says, Micah says, where do I see that trio ranking offensively and defensively next year? I think that's in regards to the Scotty, IQ, and RJ. And then Luca says, reasons why Samson, just low on the defensive side or the fit on offense. A bit of both. I buy Barnes as a hub, RJ as a slasher, and quick shooting around them. Yeah, lower on the defense. I think I'm lower on IQ's offense than quite a few people might be. And I've been pretty disappointed with his defense since coming around. Although there was, like, in the aftermath of the trade, I said, I don't see the stardom side of IQ's game necessarily. Like, would I say it's impossible for him to make an all-star game? No, but I'm not super high on Quickly. I think Quickly is good. I'm very glad he's on the team. I look forward to his, you know, his synergy with Scotty in the future. The defense is really tough for that trio, I think. Scotty's doing a lot of heavy lifting there. But I think RJ is a slasher. It definitely makes sense. As far as, like, archetypes, you're seeing things that work there, of course. But, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. So, yeah. It's tough, you know? Coco says right here, we need defense. Oh, wait, where'd it go? Yeah, we need defense and some more depth at guard. We need more talent at guard, you know? Like, this team, it's not even... Depth is important. They, of course, need depth, but they just need talent. They need talent. You need talent that can go for 50 off the bench, like Malachi Flynn. You need talent that can come in and go for like 27-6, 28-4, like Delano Banton. Oh, man. What a funny season, man. What a funny season. I've never covered a team like this. I've never covered a team like this. It is a funny thing. You talk to the players and they're like, they can feel it. They see what's happening. They know they're mired in a 15-game losing streak. They know it's not pretty. You know, that Canadian says, let's not try to bring back the pro-am prodigy Flynn. No, I'm saying it in jest. I think that Malachi Flynn, I wasn't big on Malachi, and God bless him for setting a record for the lowest scoring average for anyone to ever score 50. That's nuts. That's impressive. You know? Yeah. Sorry. OCD Sucks says, I didn't answer who I'd like Scotty to work out with. You would pick Kawhi. I think Scotty, who would be really good. I want him to work with like Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's smaller than Scotty. But Jimmy Butler is a guy who touch shots, comfortability in the middle of the floor. He is a less talented passer than Scotty, probably in a similar level of playmaker right now. And like Jimmy Butler with a smaller body is able to just like bully the hell out of the guys, get to the free throw line. I think if Scotty could work with Jimmy, I think he could learn a lot of that, like the small minutia that makes you so dangerous in the middle of the floor. Kind of what he was learning from Pascal, except Jimmy is obviously like an elevated version of that. So maybe Jimmy, you know, Kawhi obviously is an easy one. That would be really good. Yeah. Giovanni says the reality is Darko isn't even a Dwayne Casey. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to compare the coaches. I talked about the Darko stuff ad nauseum, I think, last episode, so I don't want to rehash it, but I think it's important to be able to instill an offensive system with a lot of, like, subpar talent, and my hope is that next season is really meaningful for where the defense starts taking steps, and that's going to be much easier when they have Scotty, Jakob, and, I guess, guys who do all that kind of stuff. Phoenix Plays E says, is LeBron at age 40 more athletic than current Scotty? No, I don't think so. Like, Scotty gets higher above the rim. Scotty's longer. LeBron can bend in different ways. He has a different, you know, body composition. That's always important. But I think, like, Scotty is more athletic than LeBron right now. But, I mean, Scotty is a unique type of athleticism. You see his athleticism come. He pops more as far as like running a lane in transition. He pops more as like being a backline sweeper on defense rather than like how we think about off or really explosive athletes being like, you know, you get the push dribble. They try and set the edge with the hedge. You throw it back middle. You like, you split the hedge, get downhill, like dunk on somebody. We're never going to see that from Scotty. But Scotty is so strong and so like such a quick jumper, and he can really sky for a lot of stuff. And those big steps can cover a lot of ground. You know, it's, I go Scotty, but athleticism can manifest in so many different ways. Like even Luka, right? Like Luka isn't, he isn't terribly athletic in a lot of the ways we consider it, but it takes a lot of athleticism and balance to like navigate the tight areas that he does, to decelerate the way that he does and stay in control. You know, it's, yeah, there's a lot of ways for like athleticism to manifest. And Scotty is like an instructive guy as far as that goes, you know. So was Pascal, I think. Yeah. Mike asks, have I been listening to LeBron's podcast with JJ? I haven't. I saw, I think, two clips on Twitter, but I don't genuinely, I don't consume basketball content, not really, or basketball work, not really. It's not really my bag. I do another stuff. Like I do basketball for work. So I'm like, I'm doing that for work. And then outside of basketball, I do other stuff. Nesta says, does Scotty come back for one game to try for the 20 point per game for the season? How competitive is he? So I think those are two different questions. Cause like, who is that? Who is he in competition with to get like the 20 point per game marker? I don't like it. It doesn't even matter, you know? And I don't think it matters to him. If he's truthful, because he says all the time, right? Like, you know, if he's being honest, he's saying like, I just want to win. I don't care about that kind of stuff. So if he doesn't care about that kind of stuff and he is like just wants to win, then like 19.9 versus 20, I don't think so. Phoenix Plays E says, Samson, you're not missing out on much. It's for the casuals who don't understand what a 4-on-3 advantage on the backside is, talking about the benefits of drawing to the ball. Well, I'm glad, honestly, because the coolest thing is that they have, you know, they have the plays drawn up, and they have a really good editor who does all that kind of stuff from what I've seen on Twitter. And that's like, I did a podcast with Evan Gualberto, the king of YouTube, you know, basketball compilations on YouTube. And a tremendous high school basketball coach, very high level basketball coach in the States. We did a podcast called Bouncing Around, and basically we would break down film. We'd pick one game each from somewhere across the NBA, and we'd break down film and say what sets they ran and what kind of set was really important for the game and what type of strategic decisions informed the win. And we talk about like all that kind of stuff, and we loved it. And I thought it was a really great podcast. It was before the Dunker Spot. It was before JJ and LeBron. We were really trying to make it happen, but X's and O's isn't really set to pop off, especially back then. And it took hours and hours and hours for us to edit and do everything on the end for a podcast that made no money. We had to stop. So the fact that like JJ and LeBron are introducing people to concepts that, particularly if you watch that, will make my work more palatable and easier to understand, God bless them. I think that's great. You gotta start somewhere. Like I started learning playing basketball, but not everybody has the opportunity to play basketball. You know what I mean? So everyone starts somewhere. It's Blake Murphy, for example, who does Blue Jays Talk Plus, and many people know I played a decent level of baseball. I learned baseball, but as far as like my fluency in baseball statistics, he's answered a million questions from me and just allowed me to learn about baseball from like that point of view. When I get a chance to talk to like Brian Scalabrine or something, when Boston is in town and I get to like pick his brain, or any other number of like former pros or people that I look up to, like in the pregame press conferences, I don't even necessarily ask quotes for stories from coaches. I just ask them like something I'm really interested in, And I'm like, maybe I'll talk about this. Maybe I won't. Maybe this quote ends up somewhere. But we all learn, you know, is like we all learn somewhere. And the fact that, you know, LeBron and JJ are doing it on a massive platform. Hell yeah, man. It's really good. Andre Osipov says, I still don't see plays develop when I watch LOL. I think, and he say I'm Dumbo. Not at all. You don't have to really notice what's happening on a play every time you're watching it. If you notice where the advantage is created, you're watching hoops. You're really watching hoops. And sometimes the advantage is created on the backside. And so maybe it's a little bit more helpful to see the play developing from that point of view. But if you're noticing where the advantage is created, typically it's on ball. Typically. And, you know, sometimes teams involve two or three people in an on-ball action to create that advantage. You know, it's kind of like that's you're there. So, Andre, you're there. You know, that's great, I think. We had a question that Stephen Liu says, hey, Samson, let's assume the Raptors win the draft lottery and pick first overall. Would you trade the pick or who would you pick? The trading the pick is like just dependent on what's being offered. So maybe no, I can't answer that really faithfully. And then first overall pick, since I'm not super aware, I just have to say maybe Alexander Sarr, because I know he's a big name, but I'm about to begin the process of learning about a lot of players. So, Alexander Sarr, if that's hilariously wrong and you want to poke fun at me right now, feel free. I'll be doing a lot of watching and learning over the next however long. But over the next couple of weeks, my answers for prospects and stuff like that will start to get much better. Here's an interesting question. Solstice 99 says, can you envision the Raps letting go of any assistant coaches but keeping Darko? I think maybe it's a possibility, especially since assistant coaches, like, you don't really know sometimes if assistant coaches have been let go or if they've just joined another team, right? Like sometimes it might seem like a lateral move, but it could just be like a guy going to with a friend. Like that's like, oh, these coaches know each other very well. Some of them don't know each other that well, but they're always aware of one another. And so if anybody leaves the Raptors, as far as like, if anybody leaves the Raptors and goes to another team, it's easier to just assume that like those two coaches are quite close than it is to think that it's the Raptors, you know, letting go of anybody. Slomo here says, who was the last NBA champion that did not have at least one or two top five players? Basketball is a very easy game when you have talent. Certainly. The best players create advantages as soon as they step on the floor by proxy of their existence. And then when they have the ball in their hand, they can dominate and like they can just control everything. They can descend upon others. It's just like talent makes the world go round. Brandon Gable says, one thing I love about watching things like March Madness is it's a little easier to see where the plays happen and advantages are created. That's where I started to see a lot more personally. That's great. Honestly, the fact that you even pick this stuff up while you're watching, you're like, it's already quite an elevated view of watching basketball. I like played football when I was like 13. And then I didn't play it because I started playing like basketball and stuff like that, right? And I played Madden, and that's how I learned plays in football. And I can kind of recognize like cover two. But when I watch football, I don't know what the hell is going on. I don't know like that. I don't know. I can't look at a play and say like, oh, the A gap was exposed. I don't know. So the fact that you're even picking up plays watching, you know, March Madness, I think like I will commend you for that. I think that's really good. Jing Pang says, a good point Katie Heindel pointed out on Shad Woodley's podcast is how well Darko has managed the locker room in spite of how many changes have happened this year. Yeah, that's something I've been talking about all season. He's really well liked by the players, not just Raptors players. Darko is, I've watched a lot of coaches just being at the games, interact with a lot of players. It's Darko is extremely well liked. Either that, or there is a, like an NBA-wide scheme to make him seem like he's extremely well-liked because players just fucking love the guy. So I like the testimonials go out the wazoo, and then there's even guys who you don't have quotes from. You just see them like embrace him and talk with him. He clearly has like his soft skills, as you say, Jinping, are quite good. You know, and soft skills was what Coco was talking about last episode too. So yeah, it's been good. You know, it's that kind of stuff is very, very, very good. Nesta says, would you call Darko an overcorrection after Nurse's D and locker room management? No, I don't think so. But I disagree, you know, and people disagree with me on the Darko stuff, and that's totally fine. I don't know what expectations are of Darko, right? Like, it's a 48-point loss. The Raptors keep getting shellacked, and it's like, the Raptors are not a good team. As a coach, you do your best, but you aren't out on the floor. And that's why LeBron gets to, like, in the past, gets to just fire guys. Because LeBron, he impacts the game a lot more than a coach does, and it's about how a coach matches with him. And so the good thing is, like, well, Scotty seems to really like Darko. Scotty popped off under Darko. All that kind of stuff, right? These are the things. So, yeah. Phil Dupuis says, when do you think there will be enough fan pressure that Masai will have to speak out publicly about what is going to happen with this team? If I had to guess, I bet Masai has an end-of-season press conference, similar to the one he had last year. And actually, like, we don't get to talk to Masai very often as media. I'd love to be able to talk to him more often, ask him more questions. However, I think like there are some GMs who just don't talk really at all, or presidents, or, you know, shareholders, whatever Masai's position is. He actually talks to the media, I think, a little bit more on average than a lot of GMs. But I think we're looking at the end of season, if I had to guess. By the way, there's like, I think we had 100 at one point in time. I always forget to ask when the views are at their highest, but make sure to like the video. It helps spread it around. Nesta says, the Knicks president hasn't been seen in years. Yeah, it's been like years. Leon Rose, right? Just years and years. Coco says, Samson, you ask him the probing questions. I don't know if I'll have any like heat from Masai this time around. I don't know. I don't know exactly what. Maybe I'll think on it and I'll have something particularly good to ask, but otherwise it'll just be kind of like expanding. Well, what I would ask right now is kind of the incongruity of what Masai said about development in regards to letting go Nurse, and then also why all the players he highlighted left. I would once again ask that question, I think, just because I think it's an important question to kind of like consider, is like, because they don't owe you anything. It's just whatever, you know, like nobody owes anybody anything. He's not, you know, I'm a media member. He doesn't have to answer anything I say, but it's helpful if you want to actually get an honest answer, if you quote people back to themselves so that they do have to reckon with what was said. And that's been helpful with like the Masai stuff in my opinion. So I don't know, man. We'll see. But this team is like, everybody's injured or resting or whatever you want to call it, injury management, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it's, I don't know, man. Congrats to Javon, 6 of 10, set his career high, 16 and 6, had a couple nice drives to the rim, was glad to see him bang a couple triples. Emmanuel disappointed me tonight, but that doesn't matter that much, right? You know, Williams did not have the start he wanted to, certainly. Hopefully he plays better next game. And Grady, I like to see him keep getting the shots up. Phil Dupuis says, I hear that despite the abysmal quality being put on the court, ticket prices have not dropped. Yeah, the ticket prices are going up, which I don't agree with, but the Raptors, we're looking at a team that like They won a championship recently. They're in a city where everything gets more expensive anyway. And it's just like, people just raise price. It's called greedflation. That's what happens, right? Like, that's also oil. When there's an opportunity for inflation, what corporations do is they put like a profit on top of the inflation. Like, they account for inflation, which is a real thing, but they also add their own profit margin on top of that. So that's what happens with like oil. It's not just oil. It's like the oil refineries, right? It goes down the line. And then every step of that is passed on to the consumer. And for some reason, the Raptors, they're like, oh, well, I don't know. You know, the economy these days, all this kind of stuff. Tickets are more expensive. We may lose 22 games in a row, but tickets are more expensive. You know, I think it would be sensible for them not to do that. But obviously they do that. That's kind of what we're thinking. Coco asks, when did RJ get hurt? Do we know? It's the knee soreness, which I believe is what they've been calling before his brother had passed away. When RJ was missing games, it was to deal with knee soreness. So that's kind of like, that's where it was at, right? So I think it's the same thing. And I think it's just something like, I think that's just something that I'm sure his knee hurts. I don't want to doubt that or anything like that, but it's that's what they call it. If the Raptors were in a playoff race, maybe he wouldn't be sitting out. I'm not so sure. Maybe it's something he gets looked at in the offseason. But it's obviously been in name lingering for a long time. I wonder the physical manifestation. Phoenix Play Z says, Samson, what's your favorite pick and roll coverage? You like seeing teams execute? I love watching teams play good drop defense. It requires a big who knows how to funnel, knows how to keep his hips clear, knows how to contest vertically. It requires a guard or wing who can stab step and climb around screens and stay on a guy's hip, just like chase them down into it, provide pressure from behind. I think it was so important from like 2018 to 2022. I thought it was such an underrated form of guarding the pick and roll. And it was absolutely imperative to every team that won a chip in that time frame. Now, of course, they needed counters, but drop defense, when played well, can be really, really good. It really can. But as far as like, Yeah. And Phoenix Plays E says, watching Gasol come up to the level of the screen and blitz Steph perfectly in 2019 was a treat to that. Bro, that was crazy, man. He came up, you remember the one on the sideline? Like, ooh, starts sliding those feet, gets the hands active, tips the pass, it goes out, they get a fast break. I was like, whoa, he's shuffling the puppies. I couldn't believe Gasol got up there. I couldn't believe he got up there. And he did. And, you know, partially Gasol is able to, you know, blitz or hard hedge and recover because of the length behind him to kind of gob up those passing lanes and make it look like when Curry, if the hedge or the blitz forces a pickup, it's tough to find the release valve, or the release valve has to come up above the break and meet him, make himself available instead of going downhill, making the passer find him and then working with an advantage. But it's like a team-wide thing. But Gasol, I was really impressed. Switch to blitz, I think, is really interesting. So switch to blitz basically is when you switch the pick and roll and it looks like, and then the player starts gearing up for the ISO off the switch, then you blitz them. The offense like settles into, you know, okay, we're going into ISO offense. And then all of a sudden the guy's being blitzed. And then the players have to start like coming back up the court to be a release valve and all that kind of stuff. It really messes up the regular timing of how teams want to attack switches. And it's a good wrinkle to make teams kind of feel uneasy about how they want to handle those actions. So it's a really, really good wrinkle to throw at teams, especially if you're a switch heavy team. I do like switch to blitz. That might be my favorite. I don't think it's the most effective, but I do think it's a really, really fun form of defensive coverage. And yeah, and it's also like, I don't know, there's there's so many interesting like counters. Like I love the screen your own offense that the, you know, the Mavericks run a lot, which is like when a team starts preempting a switch onto Luka, instead of screening the guy who's guarding Luka, the screener will just run and screen the guy who's about to switch. And it will create like these massive gaps straight to the rim. And I'm like, this is such a fun little thing. A good screener, like creating angles, flipping it, like rescreening, you can carve out big, nasty spaces on offense. And credit to Jakob, who's a pretty talented screener. And shout out to all the screeners because it's a really cool skill. If there's any, like, I know the demographics say we don't have the youngest demographic, like not a, well, I don't know. Do high school kids watch Raptors Republic? I'm not so sure, but if you get in the gym and like work on screening, like if you can lay down a screen or you know how to flip it for a player, they'll be like, hell yeah, this guy rocks. And also like, you know, hit the screen, hold it, flash, and make sure you always like stay in line with and match like eyes with your guy running it and make yourself available. You're already doing like 80% more than most of the kids your age, you know? Yeah, screening is really cool. It's a really fun little like thing you can dominate in small ways. Yeah, I think, that's kind of fun. Matt Utley says, Samson, the Don Cherry of Canadian basketball kids. Please no. Bill Dupuy, this will be the last question I answer. What is my opinion on drafting for talent versus drafting for position? Draft for talent, I think always. I think it's I think that's definitely the most important thing to do. And I think drafting for position is not the best, I think. You know, Drew Marshall says, how much do I think viewership is down? I mean, on these, it used to be like early on in the season, if there's a Raptors win, we get 500 people up in this bad boy. Now we're hanging around like, I don't know, like 70 to 100 on these. I don't know if it scales accordingly, but I got to imagine. I know a lot of people who used to watch games who are not watching games now. When I cover the team, my family knows I cover this team. When the Raptors are good, everyone in my family knows what's going on with the Raptors and they let me know. That was a fun game. Good game. All this kind of stuff. My dad checks in like once a month now on this. He goes like, not good. Agreed, Pops. Not good. My grandma used to hit me up after like every game. She'd watch those games. She's not watching. Who would want to watch this? You know, it's bad hoops. Things Play Z says, what's up with the LeBron Sunshine memes? I don't get it. My friend Malcolm sent this to me. And my favorite one was the Marge Simpson version. It is completely inscrutable. There's no way to understand the origin or the genesis of these memes. However, I do think they're funny. I do think they're really funny. Yeah. YG7 says, I checked out after Scotty went down. And there's a barcode who says, people still watch the Raptors, LOL. I gotta say, it's kind of flattering that you guys don't watch the games, but you pop in. I appreciate it because it would be hard to do. It'd be hard to do a live show with zero viewers. Like I don't have a lot of ego. I don't care much for the viewership numbers. I'm just here talking hoops, you know, all good, but doing it to zero would be tough. I know there's like Twitch streamers who start out doing that and it's just, you have to pretend like people are out there, but golly, 888 MJL says you went to the game. Solstice 99, you went to the game. Mel says, real ones watch regardless. Shout out to the real. I can't believe you guys were at that game. Well, I guess, wait. It was in Mini. Are y'all from Mini? Or are you just saying in general, probably? Yeah, there's definitely like season ticket holders who watch these and all that kind of stuff. Derek K says, grandma can go to bed early. Certainly, yeah. Wow, 888 MJL says, you live in Minnesota. Cool game. I hope you get to go to lots of those games in Minnesota. That's like the coolest team in the league. Them and OKC, I think, right? Also, the Knicks, when healthy, are pretty badass, too. Like, Naz Reid, Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels. What a, like, a, just, these guys are, it's a sick team, man. Very cool. I hope you get to go watch them pretty often. Andre says, my brother bought tickets for the Kings game and came from Vancouver. I felt so bad. Woof. That's not good. That's tough. Andre, condolences to your brother. Coco says, your friends were at the game from Thunder Bay. Cool. And Phoenix Plays E says, the Thunder are pretty fraudulent versus any team with real size. LOL. Yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens with them in the playoffs. So I'm pretty interested with how that looks. And I hope that it elicits some superhero performances from Shea and J-Dub. Because there might not be two players in combination who I love watching more than Shea and J-Dub. Very different players, but just genius applications of their talent on the court. I just, what a treat to be an OKC fan and get to watch them. There's like other considerations too. They didn't even buy in. They should have gone in at the deadline this year. They should have made a move, man, but they didn't. Cowardly. I hate it from that aspect, actually. I hate it from that aspect. YG7 says, a healthy Knicks beats the C's. I love that, man. I love that take. Because the healthy Knicks, what a badass team, man. The Knicks healthy, they just grind for offense. They have talented enough shot makers. They have some heady cutters. They have some good spot-up shooters. Brunson and Randall to a lesser degree. God, they just grind for it, man. And their defense, they go hard. I like the Knicks a lot. I think they got a chance for the next couple years. I know it kind of depends on the West, you know, and what the situation is over there. But the Knicks, there could be a year or two where they're the Kings out East. They're a cool team. But that feels like a podcast, yeah? That feels like a podcast, everyone? Podcast? We're just kind of talking after these games. Not so much talking about the games. You know, Ian says, love the Knicks. They play like the Raptors used to. Makes me nostalgic. They grind, man. They really grind. Let's see. One more. The barcode says Flynn for 50. Did I talk about it? I did. Maybe next podcast, I'll talk more in depth about it after I go watch like the highlights or something. And then Phoenix Play Z says, I need to hear thoughts on this. Some Knicks fans are saying that Brunson is the best player to ever come out of Villanova. Do you share that sentiment? Not yet. You don't get to take Lowry's crown this early. Now, could Brunson eventually be there? Is his statistical case maybe going to be there? Maybe, but not yet. But they're Knicks fans. I mean, why not? Like, he's a god king in New York. You know, he's a cool player. But I think it's Lowry until Brunson builds up that resume. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Seems like a podcast, right? Make sure to like the video before you get out here. Subscribe if you like hopping in and you're not subscribed or you don't. I know, you know, it used to be that like it was a big taboo on YouTube to be like, hey, like the video. It's kind of cringy. And now it's like people understand kind of the machinations, the algorithm, and it's like, hey, we're all working together to get some views on this bad boy. Zulfi says, I hop on and the first thing I see is Samson wrapping up. I don't blame you. For anybody who knows Zulfi, he's with Raptors Republic. Here's the thing. The man can hoop. He was quite good at the RR 3-on-3 turning, which I don't know when the pictures come out from that, but I'm excited to post them. If anybody's wondering, we lost, which was not any fun. We lost to the team that lost in the finals, and we went 5-1 over the course of it. And so we did better than last year, and we were a hotter version of it. Siwong says, so where's the shelf? I'm using it. Coco says, who won the 3-on-3? Same guys last year. The guy who played in Colorado is college-level hooper. He's fantastic. His name is Craig. He's an incredible player. And last year they beat the 905 practice squad team, and this year they beat Taru and a few other players. They were all speaking Japanese on the court, if I remember correctly. And the one guy, like, I don't know. Taru is an agent. I don't know where he pulls guys from, but he's brought a lot of good players to the tournament the last couple of years. Like, very impressive. So, yeah. All right, everybody. That's a podcast, yeah? All right, that's the podcast. Whether you got into this in the morning or at night, have a blessed day and goodbye.